Ghana, is there any second last?
I second that the name. My name is Nokozola Ndongeni. I seconded the name of MU. MU Kalako. Honorable MU Kalako.
Thank you, Ms. Ndongeni. Mr. Kalako, you have been nominated by Mr. Kekana, and the nomination was seconded by Ms. Ndongeni. Do you accept the nomination?
Thank you, Chair. I accept the nomination.
Thank you, Mr. Kalako. Honorable members, are there any further nominations? I see that there are no further nominations, so that automatically means Mr. Kalako is now acting chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Communications until such time the chairperson returns. Mr. Kalako, congratulations, come forward and take your seat.
Thank you, honorable members. I'm sure all of us, we do have the agenda before us for the day. Let me welcome everybody who's here. Let's start by apologies. I'm sure the apology of the chairperson has already been forwarded. Other apologies is the honorable member Ngwana, who's sick, and the chairperson of ICASA, Dr. Mnube, who extended his apology. Also, we have invited the Minister of Finance, but he has tendered his apology that he cannot be here. And those are the apologies we have, members, for today. Before us, I'm sure you will see it on the agenda. We have to adopt the minutes of the 19th and the 26th. We'll just start with that point and dispense with it so that we can go to other matters of today. Can we start with the minutes of the 19th? We have all before us the minutes. Page 1. Page 2. No issues of correction or matters arising which members want to raise, Can we move for the adoption of the minutes? Honorable Member Chair.
I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you. Serena. Honorable Nongen.
Seconded.
Honorable Nongen. The minutes have been duly adopted. Can we move to our minutes of the 26th? Page 1. Page 2.
Comment on page 3.
On page 3, okay.
It says that the chairperson indicated that in the next meeting of the committee we'll discuss the strategic planning workshop, but I don't see that on the agenda for today. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Davis, I was just still consulting them. It's not here because the chairperson to go for this minor operation before discussing with the support staff of his office and the committee, so that it can be presented as a draft to us to discuss it. That's why it's not on the chair. If there are no other matters which members want to raise, can we move for adoption? Honorable Nongen. Honorable Nongen, move for adoption. Any second now? Honorable Sele.
Yeah, I'm seconding, Honorable Chair.
Oh, thank you. Minutes are duly adopted. Now we'll move to our presentations. By the department and ICASA. We'll start first with the department. We'll request as you take the floor. You introduce your team you have with you around, so that we can move forward.
Thank you, Professor.
So, okay. What will give you for presentation? It will allocate 30 minutes. And then for discussion of the, it will be 45 minutes. So we'll be happy if you can stick into that, to that 30 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I won't take much time for the officials to make a presentation. Safe to say we are dealing with the third quarter performance report. And then it will be the government communication and information systems presenting the headquarter report. As you are well aware, they say the new ministry was just established on the 25th of May. So you'll be dealing with the headquarter report. the report for the Department of Communication. So I think the acting DG of DCIS will deal with the matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Pumla Williams. I'm the acting CEO of GCIS. I am going to be assisted by my colleagues, the three CEOs. On my left is Itumezisi Magane, who is the deputy CEO in corporate services, followed by Ms. Nivu Lekhwabe, who is a deputy CEO responsible for the stakeholder engagement, and lastly is Mr. Maloka, Harold Maloka, who is the deputy CEO responsible for content and processing. What I'm going to do is just to give the key highlights, but I think it's Karabo. I should have mentioned Karabo is our strategic and planning director. He's going to be assisting me in the managing the computer. If you could just go straight to the mandate. What I thought that we needed to do to take into account that some of the honorable members are new is to just quickly highlight the key mandate of the GCIS as it existed in the last administration, that the core mandate of the GCIS is to provide the strategic leadership of government communication as a whole, but importantly it is meant to coordinate the system of government in as far as messaging. And if one is to just highlight the fact that if the members of the public are not satisfied with government, irrespective of whether it's municipality, the province, the national, it doesn't matter. And what we seek to do with this mandate is to make sure that there is that kind of coherence in the messaging. If Minister Mtswalazi pronounces on what is going to be happening in terms of the HIV program, that message should be the same irrespective of whether it's national, provincial, and local government. And I think that's one of the mandates that we seek to do is to ensure that kind of coherence, and I think Harold is responsible for making sure that content is the same, and my colleague Nivu Lekhwabe is responsible for making sure it goes to the closest district across the country, and I think that is our core mandate. And if you, Karabo, you could go on to the... This is an entity that we are responsible for. It is an entity that was set up in 2002, as I recall, when government took a conscious decision that we do need to engage on the alternative media. It cannot be right in the new in this new democracy that we only have the media being confined to the only big four. And I think when they set up this, it was a program supported by the portfolio committee in making sure that there is an alternative voice, irrespective of whether you are Xhosa, you are Khoi, or whatever. And I think this agency, they will talk later when they do their presentation, what they have been doing over the years. What we have been responsible for is to make sure that there is funding for it and also that they do stick to the mandate that they have been assigned to develop the alternative media in this country. If you could pass that one. One of the key strategic objectives that you will see in our document is we seek to build the community that is empowered in terms of information. We also have an objective that ensures that there is training across government in as far as the skills of communication, and also to make sure that we build on effective and efficient ways of communication, because over the years we have realized that communicating with South African, with the public, it's no longer as a tool that only resides with a print media or the radio. I think our mandate is to make sure that we move with the times, as we all are aware that there is social media out there, and our strategic objective is to make sure that we spearhead the tools that we use in terms of communicating with the public. What I have done for the period under review, which is the third quarter, I'm just going to highlight the key activities that really took this period, and I think my colleagues will talk to it. You will note in the report that we submitted is that over and above a lot of activities that we did between October and December, we exceeded the targets that we have meant. But what my job is, at least for now, is to just highlight the major one, which is the state funeral of the late state former President Nelson Mandela. It is an activity that really consumed a lot of government department, and we thought that I will pull it out and whilst my colleagues will talk to it. One of the things that we did during this period, when the former state president was pronounced having passed away, the activities for the month of December came to a stop. We had to focus on the funeral. All the government or GCIS officials that were on leave, they were called to base, and I think, as I recall, everybody who was on leave reported back to work at about 1 a.m., and they were all called in, and we started working from that time. And you will note that during this period, we processed approximately 5,000 media journalists that came into the country. And it was amazing that when the announcement was made at 12 midnight, but as early as 3 a.m., we already had journalists that we had to process. And I think we are proud to say that as early as 7 o'clock, we were already processing journalists that descended to in our shores. And we then became a center of activity in as far as servicing the media. And I also want to highlight here that one of the success activity that we would want to note is how we managed to make government to speak as one voice through our building in GCIS in Midtown. I think almost everybody in the public service, whether it's in a district, it's in the provinces, they knew that they have to interact with us if they want to communicate, whether it is a province, whether there's new developments, whether there are condolences, books. We became the center of that kind of information together with our website, which became effective and went live as early as 12:15 at night after the announcement. In terms of the expenditure, which is a source of a concern by a lot of people, GCIS is happy to say that we conducted all our activities within our budget. We spent a total of 13 million, which is reflected there. But what we would want to say that you will note in our financial statement, we have recorded an over expenditure of about 3 million. That happens because what we sought to do immediately is to look at how we can downscale a lot of activities that were happening, some of the posts that were vacant, and as a way of finding funding within the baseline that existed, because there wasn't any budget and there were no plans that this event is going to happen. We've used approximately 30 million. And the breakdown of that 13 million can be provided, but in the main, we were responsible for providing the condolences books across the country. We were responsible for the branding that happened around the funeral throughout the country. We were responsible for the program of the day. We provided that. And I think a lot of advertising that happened in some of the cases was funded by ourselves. The radio adverts, the print adverts. We did a lot of work with community-based media, because I think we do feel that that's one platform that we've really focused our attention to. In terms of updates on a daily basis, we had over 102 radio stations that were plugged to us, which we were providing that activity. And overall, I think I would want to say my colleagues will talk to some of the additional activities, but what I just wanted to highlight, this has been the major activity that occupied the GCIS, and then I think my colleagues can talk to the other activities. Thanks. It's over to Kitu.
Thank you very much, HTCO, and morning, honorable members. think with regards to governance, we've got a number of issues that we have attained, and the key achievements for that period of 3 months, we maintained the vacancy rate of below 8% target, which we have set ourselves. I think generally in the public service we have a target of 10%, but we always maintained 8%, and that is what we're doing from month to month. And we were able to process 99.9% of our payments within 50 days. And we implemented the communication campaigns for the approved 2012 and 2013 annual report. I think we were able to succeed in that. In those 3 months, we monitored and implemented the risk mitigation plans. And I think this is a very, very critical requirement whenever you have to do your operations, and we were able to implement that. And the second quarter for 2013 and 14 interim financial statements were submitted to National Treasury on the 31st of October 2013. And this is the commitment that we have made, that on the due date of the interim financial statements, we always make sure that we meet that deadline. We facilitated 3 training sessions for government communicators, and like the CEO has indicated, that one of our objectives, which is part of our mandate, is to make sure that we train government communicators, and then we were able to do those sessions. We partnered with Lead SA, Proudly South Africa, and the Department of Arts and Culture to launch the 20 Years of Freedom campaign. I think it is common knowledge to all of us that since that period, this campaign is sustained, and it is even happening now through various channels. And then we also held a midterm review session of the implementation of the annual performance plan and to plan for 2014 and 15 financial year. If you look at our close of the year books, we were able to account for all the monies that were assigned to us. And like the CEO has indicated, we had an over expenditure of about 3 million, but the reason was that state funeral that we had to manage. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm going to present the branch content processing and dissemination. And as you can see around the performance indicators on the newsletters themselves, these are the newsletters that we produce based on our research that we share with colleagues within the industry and within the department. On number two, on the number of cluster reports produced, this we used to make it one report per quarter that we will present to all different platforms, but we felt that we need to segregate it according to clusters. So ultimately, we ended up with 7 reports. That's why you see the change in numbers, and we fixed that in the new in this financial year's APP. On the issue of the our knowledge management service and the knowledge management sharing, we've already had the one session that we've had on social media. Like the CEO said earlier on, we try to make sure that government is not left behind when it comes to the interaction with the in that particular space. On the number of reports on communication monitoring, and we have managed to get the draft report, and the draft report itself, because for the quarter to be counted, it had to be October, November, December. So once December comes, we close it, then we are able to then finalize the report. On the annual report on the assessment of media landscape, this is a process. The report itself has to be printed in this particular financial year. On the annual synthesis of departmental achievements and plans for the State of the Nation address, this is to make sure that towards the State of the Nation address, we are able to find a consolidation of some of the progress that has been made since the previous State of the Nation address, so that we can assist the President's content in the presentation of the State of the Nation address. On the media clippings, these are the press clippings and coverage, so that we can be able to track what government is doing and how government is reflected in the media space, and make sure that all departments are privy to that particular content. We also have an alert system if anything happens and it gets to be picked up, particularly in the media space. or even if it's not in the media space, we have a system where we can be able to alert the entirety of government of what is taking place, and that that's what that is speaking to. We also provide on a daily basis, except for weekends and public holidays, onto a synopsis of what are the main issues, because we have a monitoring system overnight that can give you, when we wake up, we should be aware of what are the few elements. When it comes to key messages, we base these targets on the previous financial year. Now, as we re-engineer the organization and the demand for content from different sections and different situations, we tend to produce more of these products. And this will be your key messages. If there's something that were to happen and in the environment, then we feel that we need that consistency that the acting CEO was talking about. We'll produce our key messages so that we can distribute it across government, so that government is aware of what is taking place and what is our line on it, and so that we can impart the right information to our people, whatever the platforms that we use. And also on the content products, these are your fact sheets and different, including for briefings and so on. We do produce a lot, and this increase is because there's a lot of demand for us to produce a lot of content. And as we produce a lot of content, and when we look at our targets, ultimately it comes to a point where they look a bit mismatched from the target to the demand itself. And then the strategy in the previous quarter was already approved, so this was basically based on, this was just on the research findings of what people think around the 20 years of freedom. Research conducted on two segments, this is also presented without any particular challenge. The number of language services, this is when we translate, when we do editing, and so on and so forth, so that is also based on demand. This demand is also driven by our media buying capabilities. When most departments come to us or our clients and say, we want to produce a poster, so if they want to produce a poster, it has a replica effect on different areas. If we want, it will be for our buying of the space, it will have to be for the editing, it will have to be for the writing, it will also have to be for the design. So that demand is driven from that, including where we have to translate it. For instance, we began a process a bit some time ago on the on translation of the cabinet statement in different languages, so that we can put it on, including SADC languages. So that is also adding to that, to those particular numbers. These ones are, it's an annual report, which is the yearbook, so it's still in the process of being produced. Vukuzenzele, we continue to print the 1.7 million copies, so that is clear then. The jumping numbers with regard to this period will have to be because of during the Madiba funeral, we had to do a special edition and we had to increase the pagination, including the number of copies that we print. That has also an effect on the Braille copies, and the numbers have jumped because during that time we also had to make sure that we increase the number of copies. So, we also put it on the website, the public sector magazine. We also had to increase the number of copies to print given the period because of the Madiba funeral. And also the GovComs, which is an insert that we put into the public sector magazine, it had to increase as well because it has to match the number of copies of the magazine that we actually produce. The newsletters themselves, so these are public servant newsletters that we distribute information. For instance, in there is more recent example when the president appointed to the new members of the executive, we had to do one so that we introduce them to public servants and so on. So it's also based on what is taking place at that time. We also, when you talk about the comprehensive and current and usable website, we continue to update our own websites. We manage the government website, the GCIS website, the Vukuzenzele website, and the services website. When it comes to, we have an SA News, SA News website that we cover the stories on to update it. We also have We also have a number of response and support offered to managers based on requests for assistance. And we also paste on social media. On the marketing side, given the activities and the demand for content, also a demand for us to participate in a number of activities that are taking place. So to ensure that we have a brand presence, we make sure that we have all of those events, and those events that are there are the ones that we did for the marketing purposes. And during the campaigns themselves, the marketing campaigns that we do, they are growing in number because we're trying to make sure that we have a creative way of doing that. On the distribution side, the 5,100,000 that's for Vukuzenzele. The increase in it is based on when requests come in. If a department says, for instance, we want to make sure that people have got access to content on how to do land claims, and therefore we've printed this one to distribute them across the country, that's the type of demand that would increase our numbers. So it's also in our interest to make sure that government information is distributed quite extensively. On the implementation of the functioning corporate identity, we are also responsible for the government corporate identity to make sure that the code of arms is used correctly, is protected, and that there is guidance on that. So we make sure that we have interact with departments on all of that. Development management, GCIS brand manual that has already been done. On the public sector forum itself, we were supposed to hold three in that particular quarter. We held one. We had one planned for November, which was going to be on Disability Month, but unfortunately, our speaker at the time asked us to postpone to the 11th of December. That ultimately had to fall off because it fell during the time of the funeral of President Mandela, as the CEO indicated.
Thank you, Chairperson. Morning, honorable members. I am going to present the Intergovernmental Coordination and Stakeholder Management Branch that covers the provincial and local liaison, the media engagement, as well as the clusters, two clusters, human and JCPS. And I think, Ms. Sisbuma, in the interest of time, I want to focus on the areas where there are variances, not where we have delivered. On page 26 is about the quarterly reports on the functioning of the systems which were done. The next page that talks about the Chisholm Service Center. Again, before I think it's also important that I indicate that during this period we were managing six major campaigns over and above the things that we were doing. The 16 days we're dealing with transport months. We're dealing with infrastructure month, and for the first time, Disability Day is always the 3rd of November, but for the first time last year, Deputy Minister and the Department of Women and People with Disabilities indicated that they wanted to run a month-long program, and a lot of our efforts went into supporting that campaign. Instead of a day, it was the whole month. The other important thing is that the presidency introduced the Older Persons Week, which we supported fully, especially in our provincial offices. And as the acting CEO had indicated, Mandela funeral was one of the biggest that we had to run. And then we also had 16 days of activism. The target of the Chisholm Service Center, it was 94% achieved. We didn't do the six, six were not done, 6% was not done, largely because, as indicated, we had to suspend some of our work during the period of Nelson Mandela's passing. The electronic newsletter, My District Today, which is an e-newsletter that talks about good stories of service delivery at local level, we exceeded by one because of the numbers of the it's produced every Friday. So November month there were we always say four per month. So there were five Saturday Fridays. That's why we had exceeded it by one. When you look at community and stakeholder liaison visits, again, because of the number of campaigns that we had to run, we had to engage more with more of the stakeholders. Our target was 607. We did 832, which is 225 more, largely to make sure that we implement these campaigns successfully. In terms of the products that we distributed, the target was 125,000. We distributed 136,000, and largely again during Mandela funeral, there were a lot of activations in all districts and municipalities. And part of the things that we're doing, remember there was the live viewing areas and the like. Some of the things that we did during that period, we also distributed government material. When we look at the development communications projects, again, as part of some of the campaigns, the target was 510. We were able to do 209 more to make sure that we implement our campaigns. The slide that talks about number of stakeholders established, we actually indicated, which was a mistake, we said there was no stakeholder that was established, which is wrong, because that was the time, again, when we were preparing for the preparations for the 20 years of freedom celebration, and we engaged with a lot of stakeholders at the national, provincial, and local level. But more importantly, we had a very good working relationship and a workshop with the SABC to make sure that we promote the 20 years of freedom. The other important thing is that during that time, we were preparing for the 10 in January, the African Cup of Nations, and we started engaging with the local organizing committee and Department of Sports to prepare for that. So there were some engagements that we held. When it comes to the cluster coordination, the economic cluster, there are no variances, so I'm not going to speak to that one, Garabo. Then we can go to slide number page 36, where we're talking about stakeholders that we engaged with as part of the human development and social protection cluster. The target was one stakeholder, but we actually engaged two, again, more regarding local organizing as well as the 20 years of freedom. I'm now going to go to the media engagement, which is page 39, where we're talking about the number of meetings organized to track the implementation of the recommendations of rapid response. We were supposed to have 8 meetings, but we had 14, which we exceeded, and likely because that was the time of the funeral of the state, the former state president. There was a lot of engagement, a lot of things, because we had daily rapid response, as the SNCO had indicated. So there were a lot of follow-ups that were supposed to have been done during that period, hence the variance. And then the page 40, we are talking about planned strategic engagements between government, government leaders, foreign correspondents, and the Press Gallery Association, as well as the SANEF. Just to indicate that the planned meeting during that quarter did not take place, largely because of the unavailability of our political principal at the time. It was the deputy president, so the deputy president could not allow us to engage with SANEF at that time. The next target that we are talking about is the rapid response facilitated. At that period, we had 83 rapid response. The target was to have 83 rapid response reports, and that is daily rapid response reports. But we did 74, likely because remember December, we also had we have holidays, so this number includes the holidays. That's why we could not meet the said target. I think that talks to all my activities. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Having been the culprit earlier on of taking more time, I will note that the variances in the previous pages up until page 48 are cumulative and positive variances. I can answer questions if there are any particular questions. But draw the attention of the committee to slide 49, where it speaks about the number of hours digitized. This process was to try to digitize content or video content that was in the archives of government, some of it being prior to 1994, some of it after 1994. As technology moves, we needed to make sure that we have it on digital so that we can be able to use it for different purposes. We have bought a machine and the capacity that can assist us to carry this content. But then we needed to get a converter, because when we looked at the material that is inside, it was clear that there were different formats. Since prior to 1994, different tapes, different formats, different cameras. So we had to convert that. And then that's when we can be able to digitize. But we're quite happy that our annual report will indicate that we have completed this process. Our initial package was 1,650, but you will see, we'll say 1,500 hours that have been digitized, simply because some of those tapes were too old, so they got torn as we tried to convert them. So ultimately, the material was not usable. If you wanted to know what the apartheid government was up to, unfortunately, Chairperson, I'll have to disappoint you and say I don't have the material. Not all, but some of it. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Members, that's...
Sorry, I'm told the focus is the finance.
Sorry. Okay, thanks very much, Acting CEO. I think the last slide, which is about three slides, is just about the summary of the expenditure picture, which happened during those 3 months. I think we are just indicating the drawings that we made in various programs and then indicating the expenditure. And the first program, which is program one, I think we had a variance of about 2.1 million rand. And mainly the variance was in the operational area, where we are saying, and it is about 1.7 million rand. That is because of the payments of CETA services, like they delay in bringing us the voices and answer the invoices. And as we delay, then the money is not spent, and the resulting in that amount. And then another area, I'm sorry, the other program will be program two, where we have the major underspending in personnel as well as the operational. And then the personnel underspending is just because of the natural attrition as people resign and then we replace. And the 1 month and the 2 months when we're still filling the post, you'll find that the money is not spent. And then in operational in program two, I think the major cause of underspending was the payments for tracker research, which is one of our main cost drivers. So if we have not yet paid, we will end up in a situation of underspending. And also, when we got to pay the service providers in terms of printing of government products, our Focus and Zealous, our SAA, Hook, and other things, you'll find that at the end of the period, we have not yet paid because the invoice has not yet arrived, and then we end up in an underpayment. Underspending. And then program three, we also have a total amount of underspending of 4.4, which personnel is 2.4 of it, and it's the same reason that I said in program two. And then with regard to media engagement, which is under operational, I think the variance was because of the training and traveling to the of foreign trips, because when we've got to pay those things, we take time because the invoices come late. Basically, those are the areas where we realized some underspending for those 3 months. But I must point to honorable members that at the end of the financial year, like the CEO had indicated, we were able to spend 100% of the money that were allocated to us, because we did some viaments. And in fact, actually ended up with about 3 million rand, which is 0.8 of overspending. But the reason was because of the state funeral that we had to fund because we didn't plan for it. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Chair. I think we've kept 30 minutes.
Thank you, CEO, for your cooperation, guys. Honorable members, that's for us now to, if we have points of clarity or comments on the input, can we see hands? Dongeni, Honorable Davis, Honorable Igana, in that order, Honorable Madisha, and Honorable Grell, in that order.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks for the report from the department. Okay, I have to ask some few questions. No? What is the current status on Department Information Technology Data Covering System? The second one, what is the status of the fraud prevention message that was going to be communicated to the member in the headquarters, and how was this feedback, and what strategies will be used to measure impact? What was submitted to Michael in this quarter? Because in slide page 11, you said you didn't report. So what was submitted to Michael in this quarter? And then, is the department able to pay leases in all the buildings in Tucson Services Centers? The last one, Chair. Is there any turnaround strategy in Vukuzenzele magazine in rural areas? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Domeni. Honorable Davis.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you, Acting CEO, for the presentation and to your colleagues. On page 7, there's a diagram, and in the center it talks about a coherent, responsive, and cost-effective communication service for all government programs. So I'm just interested to gain an understanding from you on where does the work of the GCIS end and where does the work of the communications directorates within each department begin? I'm just trying to work out whether there's any overlaps that could, or any duplications that could be taken care of. Then on page 9, it talks about 3 training sessions for government communicators. Could you just give us a bit more information on exactly what the program was for those workshops and who the facilitators were for those workshops? Then on page 11, the annual report of the assessment of the media landscape, it seems that there was a delay there because some of the writers failed to submit their reports. And I'm just wondering if that's... annual report of the assessment of the media landscape has been completed yet, and if not, when is it due for completion? Then on page 10, you talk about a social media knowledge forum that was held on the 13th of November last year, and on page 21, it talks about... as one of the performance indicators, efficient use of social media aligned to government communication platforms. And I note that there was a campaign launched on the 29th of August called, I think it's called Tell Your Story. And it was launched last week. I see that there's only, I think, 86 followers of that campaign on Twitter at this point in time. And given that there's around 3 million people in South Africa who are on Twitter, I wonder whether you would consider this campaign successful so far, and what kind of benchmarks would are you using to measure the success of this Tell Your Story campaign? Then on page 33, you mentioned the cluster communication meeting on the security upgrades of Nkandla. I'd like to know which departments were represented at that cluster communication meeting, and what was the outcome of that meeting? And then you mentioned obviously one of the big highlights or lowlights, as it were, in this quarter was the funeral of the former state president Nelson Mandela. And I think that on the whole, GCIS could be commended for the work it did around the memorial service. I do think that the memorial service was marred by two key incidents. One was the booing of the president, which is obviously nothing that you could have done about that. It was out of your control. But the one thing that was, I think, potentially in your control was the fake sign language, the fake interpreter. And I remember at the time that Ms. Williams put out a press statement saying that there would be an inquiry into what happened there. And I may have missed it in the media, but I haven't seen anything on the outcomes of that inquiry. So I'd like to know if the inquiry was conducted, and if so, what was the outcome of that inquiry, and who was held responsible for that international embarrassment. Then, finally, I just have a question for the, I think that should be probably directed at the Minister. We have had an acting CEO of the GCIS since the 27th of August 2012. So it's over 2 years of an acting CEO. I'd be very interested to know why there is such a delay in appointing a permanent CEO, and when does she expect to have a permanent CEO in place? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is only two questions. Let me start by welcoming the report. Indeed, it's good. And we do applaud you guys for the spelling of that letter. We do understand that you have vacant post. I saw it at page 9. And it's due to resignations and transfer to the government department. So I just want to, my interest is to push what President requested us to do. For sure you remember that in his solemn address, he promised the nations two things: to make sure that people work, to get rid of unemployment, and to fight corruption. Are you attending to those? How many posts do you have, and when are you intending to fill them? And where do you advertise them? And number two, did you have any litigation? And if so, how many cases? And what happened? I thank you.
Okay, I'm... Yeah, let me also echo the same sentiment. I really appreciate the presentation. And really, I also want to commend you for the job well done. I see here on quite a number of performance indicators. You have exhibited something that we appreciate. But just two quick issues. I see here on breaking news for SMS synopsis, my interest is on the recipients of the SMS. Who are those recipients of the SMS? And lastly, on the government is in business to. To what extent are we performing in relation to the responses to communities, as and when we go to communities, listen to what people are saying? To what extent are we responding to the issues that that people are raising in that respect? But I am covered on quite a number of issues raised by my colleagues.
Honorable
Josie,
to
speak
because you are there at the guidance. I thought you may be busy with the coup. I don't get your joke. No, I thought you are assisting the suit on the coup.
No problem. Okay. Thanks, Jefferson, and good morning to everybody. And thanks as well for the presentation. I have a few questions as well. One is on the Nelson Mandela work that the department has been engaged in. I wonder, because the point of departure is that it was a disruption, and hence you have to shift the resources around, focus on the funeral and the memorial service and so on and so forth. Shouldn't there have been a forecast? Because it seems to me that one got a sense that there were preparations prior, there were talks about the possibility of the departure of Nelson Mandela years before. Shouldn't we think ahead on rainy days like this, so that it's not a disruption that takes us by surprise? But I mean, the funeral of Nelson Mandela, it was, SABC had prior plans, there was a plan in place, so that when it happens, there's actually, we're not caught by surprise in that sense. It seems to me that you have to be able to show that kind of competence, as it were. I would wonder, what are your comments to that? And yeah, I think it was the first time that we had an event of that proportion, just to bury a person of that importance to the international community and to South Africans. And there were a lot of things that, you know, go wrong and all that, and there were things that we got right. I thought it was suspect that the memorial service was chaired by officials of the ANC. I wonder what your comments are. Sir Ramaphosa and Balaka Mbete at that time, really. Some of us found it hard to identify. Are there efforts really to move in ways that are inclusive? I mean, maybe it's not, I don't know whether it's part of the decisions that are made by yourselves or what, but the direction of the program seemed to me to have been a bit, unfortunate. I didn't get that. I know that they were both at that time, I stand to be corrected, but they were both at that time not playing any role in actual government. I don't know, or either in parliament as well. So I'm worried about, and I would like your reaction to that. And then, how do you measure the interactive nature of your communication tools? I mean, what are some of the concrete trends that we can hear that you are getting feedback from the people, from most of these interactions, not just from like the elite media that you interact with, but part of your objective is to build an interactive communication system. Could you say more with actual examples about some of the things that you are actually receiving and what is being done as examples, so that we test really the success? And then I don't know. I also am struggling to. I know we are talking about a term. You are reporting about a term before the reworking of the department. But I want to get a sense of how do we envisage a transformation of this, of the GCIS, sort of going, assuming a bigger role in government. Where will it start? Where will it end? As the Honourable Davies has said, I mean, I just want to get a sense, because some of the reports of partnerships and so on and so forth are speaking to that. But how do we envisage just moving forward? Maybe not necessarily in relation to the actual report. And then finally, you know, it's not so. There are important events in the country. I don't know. I mean, Marikana is a very, very critical event in South Africa, like extremely important. Because we have not seen something of those proportions since 1994. the department pays attention to a lot of important events like the state funeral of Nelson Mandela, like 20 years of freedom, and all other things that you mentioned, like soccer, for an example. People are going to play soccer and so on and so forth. I wonder if there are any thoughts around the event and the fact that there is an actual annual work that is done around Marikana. Shouldn't we get involved as government, I mean, South Africans and so on and so forth? I just wanted to get what is the sense? What are your thoughts around this important event of Marikana in relation to the fact that you are actually doing work on important events of those proportions as well elsewhere? And then, I'll stop it at that for now. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. I was saying that one went through the documents, and yes, indeed, the questions that one had have been raised by my colleagues here. So the only thing then that I wish to be clarified on is the usage of resources. You have indicated that as a sequel of you not having employed the identified people for those particular positions, that you said that, of course, money was not used. Therefore, we still have enough in all those particular areas. But then at the end, you indicate, and that's what one has seen, that we have overspent by about 3 million. I'm raising this because at the end it is going to cause very serious problems. Now, can you clarify that? Say we have not used enough because we have not employed people and we have not done 1, 2, 3, but then you come back and say we have overspent by 3 million. I therefore can't understand if you kindly can clarify that.
Honorable Fundy.
It was said that there is a huge demand for content. I want to know who is the target market, and does the content actually reach the target market? And as Honorable Lawsy said, what is the measurements in place to make sure that the content actually reaches the people that it should? You say on page 15 that there is a high demand for language services. If you can maybe elaborate on that. Because if I look at the Northern Cape where I come from, there's 53% of the people that speak Afrikaans, 23% speak Tswana, only 3% is English-speaking people, and the content that goes out to the communities is in English. So who do you reach in the end? Thank you.
Thank you. Over to you, Acting CEO.
Thank you very much. I think even the Minister and the Deputy Minister will assist us and my colleague. I didn't get the first question of the Honourable Member, but I'll try and respond to most of what I understood, so I think you'll pardon me. I think starting with the former State President Nelson Mandela, it's true, Honorable Lozi, that at some point we knew that this event will happen. But I think what the challenge that we have is how much can you plan for somebody that you don't know when he will pass.
We did do a bit of planning, you correct, but as you understand, in the public service, we operate on a cash basis annually. Now, there was no way we could actually have a budget year in, year out that is not spent. I think that's where the challenge was. We couldn't put money aside, but I think in terms of some planning, level of planning, honorable members, we did. And that is why I'm able to say to you, when the announcement was made at 12 o'clock, quarter past 12, we went live. Journalists could get into our site and get accreditation. By 12:30 to 12:45, everybody in GCIS was up and he was back at work. So there was a bit of planning in that regard, but it couldn't be to the T. What is it that went right and what went wrong? I think for starters, I think everybody knew that it was the first time we had a funeral of this magnitude. We were going to have some mistakes. I mean, at some point there was some frustration as NASREC with journalists not getting attention. I think we did have some of those glitches. But overall, I think we've learned from it. There was no handbook that existed for a funeral of this magnitude from a government communications point of view. As a result of that, we felt the way we worked, it's never going to happen again. We've developed a manual for ourselves. We know exactly what will have to happen in the event an event of this magnitude were to happen. We don't want, even if it's two journalists who are frustrated, we actually want to reflect and say, how do we assist them? So we've done a lot of input from some of the journalists that have given us input to say, this is what went right and this is what went wrong. So we've tried to fix it. In terms of the sign language, indeed it was one of the sore points, but it was not GCIS. I think there has been a lot of that kind of an assumption that GCIS was responsible for. We were responsible for disseminating information, but procuring the services of some of the activities, transport they can exploit, the protocol they will exploit, the program for that matter the honorable member is asking about, we were not responsible for that. So I guess in some other platforms where this matter is being debated, I think there will be some kind of correction. What was of interest to us is that how do we make sure that we don't get disadvantaged, because we have an interest in our audience getting the information. We've managed to get the arts and culture to commit that in future events they will be responsible for the sign language, because we have an interest in that regard, that some of our clients who happen to depend entirely on the sign language are not disadvantaged in the future. In terms of the program, that there were some other, the now deputy president, what our understanding was from the beginning was that the funeral was a three-part collaboration. It was the family, it was the African National Congress, because I think the former state president was a member of the African National Congress, and it was us as government, because he was a former state president. So there was a lot of collaboration with the three parties, but I think that's how far I can go in as far as the funeral. In terms of the cluster and GCIS, I think it is a relevant question. It is a question that we all the time grapple with, what our understanding is as a system. Because when the whole GCIS was conceptualized, there was an acknowledgement that there is a need for a department to get involved, because they sit with the detail, they know what is happening in their department, but at some point we need to make sure that all these parties, even if you are in justice, you do need to understand what is happening in health. Even if you are in agriculture, we all need to understand what we're seeking to do as education. So our role, as we see it, is to make sure that that kind of coherence exists. How does it present itself? The government operates in the form of a cluster, the social cluster, the JCPA cluster. So what we do on a monthly basis, we convene them. We try and understand what is it that they are doing, and some of the issues that cast across all the other departments,
we then take charge and we make sure that there is that kind of coherence. The question that you are asking, for instance, of what the meeting of the JCPS cluster involved in, on a monthly basis we meet to discuss what has been the communications issues. And this specific one, there was no difference to that. You will recall that there was also I think the media briefing by the security cluster. Most of the communications practitioners in those clusters, they meet to discuss even things like that. If there is going to be a cluster briefing, they will meet to discuss the putting together the cluster briefing. So there is a lot of collaboration in that regard, and I can't remember exactly what the issue was, but if I'm correct, you are referring to the cluster briefing that happened around November, which was the JCPS cluster. I think the outcome of that was the media briefing that came out at that particular time. I think there is a statement that is out there on that area. In terms of the irregular expenditure, I think what we did acknowledge when this event happened, we knew that there was going to be problems in terms of funding. Everybody was running all over and trying to say, how do we manage the over expenditure? Generally, we have a policy that any vacancy cannot exceed over two months. We deliberately, from the vacancies that were even still in circulation, even in interview, we decided consciously that we are not employing them because we knew there was no way we were going to raise the 13 million. We didn't have it, but the funeral needed to happen. And we needed to think of creative ways of how do we fund it. And that is why instead of a 13 million over expenditure, we are sitting with a 3 million. The rest of the 10 million, we have had to fund it within some of the projects that we have had to postpone. I don't know. I think the others, my colleagues, can talk to it and minister.
Okay. Thanks very much, Acting CEO. I think in answering the issue of vacancies, partly CEO has answered it. What I wanted to emphasize is that the issue of 2 months turnaround is what we have set ourselves to. And we stick to that. And I must say, I think the question was asked about the acting CEO, the vacancy of the CEO. The only post that has been long vacant is that one of the CEO. And some of the monies that we're talking about are the monies that come from that post. And I'm proud to say to honorable members that we have been identified through an MPET process as the only department that has got the shortest turnaround time in filling a post. And we have been identified as a case study. All other government departments, they are using as our example, the way we do things to make sure that we fill the post within a very short space of time. And the question that I was saying, how many posts do we have that are vacant? We, on average, because we have an establishment of about 480 people vacant. And then on average, the 8% of that you see is about 30 posts. But it's not a single post that is there for 6 months, because the person resigns and then it's only 2 months, another one resigns or transfers. So it's not one post that goes for over 2 months. It will be another post on and on like that. So on average, we maintain that because we are very strict in terms of making sure that we fill those posts and the like. Then the issue of the training that we are providing to people, the contents thereof that was asked by the honorable member there, I think we first of all do training in terms of inducting the newly appointed communication officers when they come. We organize a session for them so that they can be inducted. But generally, there is a fully-fledged program as to what are they taught, and we can make it available. Just to mention a few, we say we have topics like handling of the media, communication strategizing, development of communication strategies, preparation of media releases and media statements, and general functions of a communication officer. Those are the things that are there. And issues about how to respond rapidly to the media issues, what we call rapid response, and then crisis management as well as communication research. Those are the things that are presented to. And then we have We have a person who has been appointed in the department who is coordinating this training. But as and when it is necessary, an external service provider, a training person is employed so that the services are procured so that we can do it. I think the acting CEO has talked about the overspending, and I think that's the explanation. We don't have any litigation in terms of our processes of HR and the like.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to respond to the question of is Imbizo and what to what extent are we responding to those questions. Just I want to give some little context to that. How we work with communities is that we've got GCIS officials working with the community development workers, working with the ward committee members, working with the municipality communicators at local government level. When there are issues, there are questions, there are challenges, they work together as a team. One of the things that we did was to come up with communications protocols and guidelines largely for even diesel. The one thing that we introduced as part of the last administration was that when we do even diesel, one of the things that we need to do is for all political principals to have 10 events per annum. But of these events, there must be the repeat business, because people go to the political principals go to the communities, issues are raised, they need to make sure that they build in a mechanism where they go back again to go check a feedback. We have developed an electronic system where questions are being raised, the scribes will capture that information, and in some cases you'll find that the Minister of Water Affairs, as an example, will go to Madikwe, just as an example. And the things that people raise there, some of them have to do with the Minister of Agriculture or another minister. So we have a system where departments are able to transfer or refer some of the questions raised to the to other ministers. But we believe that most of the things that are being raised and are being asked to national ministers as well as provincial ministers, the responses to a very large extent come from the local. Therefore, it becomes also important for the council and the councillors to actually have a feedback session that they are able to respond to the issues that have been raised. How content is being generated over and above is invisible is that when the communicators and the CDWs engage with them, in some cases, they go back also and give them responses of the things that have been raised. That's my attempt to this.
The last issue around what do we do with issues when they are raised. You know, the one thing that we always explain to the department, communication is not a service provider. We make sure that things happen. If you do not fix that tap, there's no amount of communication that will happen. So that's what we instill even in departmental communication, to say your starting point is to make sure that the department delivers. And then it becomes easier to communicate. So yes, we can go there and communicate, but I think there has to be that acknowledgement that there is Imbizo, yes, we go there, but I think our first line of protocol is to get departments to do what they're supposed to do. Then the work of communication becomes easier. It's something else if people don't understand how to go, where to go when you want a house. But there should be a system in place to make sure that I then go and communicate that this is where you go to register yourself and whatever. So I think it's that kind of a balance which sometimes gets lost in as far as the communication is concerned. So I don't know whether I did respond to that. How best do we assess our success? I think for me, our flagship, honestly, is to work with communities directly. I think there is no amount of a newspaper advert in Star or Sunday Times that can replace
the electorates going and talking to people directly and listening to what they do. We do it all the time. I go on a Saturday once, Labour goes, and we join venture and we go and talk to communities. I've gone to one where we collaborate with the police. They will tell us what the number of cases have come. And I think the issue that we went to deliver was the issue of children. And we go there to communities to say, what is it that you want government to do? And I think that's the balance that doesn't really come out in these reports. But we do more than just writing, but we also go ourselves and talk to communities. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. I was a culprit of wasting time earlier, so let me try to be quick. Complimented to that is that we do conduct research. We do go to communities, Honorable Mlozi, and we go and do research where we hear what people think about the campaigns that we run. What do they think about government efforts to deliver water and so on and so forth. So we do get that type of feedback from the communities. What was presented to Manco on page 11, we do look at the campaigns that we run. We have a monitoring unit. When we say we've committed ourselves, this is going to be September is going to be Tourism and Heritage Month. We come up with a plan, and then we look at whether we have done the things that we had committed ourselves to do, and we tend to want to improve. So every quarter we look at that, and that has been presented, and we present it to Manco every quarter. Honourable Member, Vukuzenzele is no longer a magazine; it's a newspaper now. And we distribute it across the country. We do, given the budget, we can be able to distribute more. But unfortunately, the budget that we have only give us an opportunity to print 1.7 million in 53 million population. So that's the gap. But we try to distribute that. If I may also link to the issue of distribution of language to other provinces. Just on Vukuzenzele, we're quite mindful of the fact that we need to make sure that we send the right languages. In the week of the 18th or 29th of November, of August, this August that we just left, we, in terms of our distribution, we distributed 67,000 copies of Vukuzenzele in the Northern Cape. Out of those, 36,000 is Afrikaans, 2,000 is English, 26,000 is Botswana, and 2.2 in Xhosa, in those areas that are bordering the Eastern Cape. So that we are quite mindful of our language distribution. Unfortunately, with the numbers that we have, we cannot be able to go everywhere. Whether I tell you a story, we see it as a success. Let me firstly say that to look at social media campaign, you don't have to look at it against one account. When we run a campaign, we just launched the Tell Your Story campaign. When we look at the campaign, we run it with partners, Urban Culture, Lead SA, SABC, our own Vodacom, our own gov.za account on Twitter and Facebook and Flick and so on. So we're running it across the board. So the success will be only determined towards the end. Every campaign, when it starts slow until it gains momentum. And in the September edition, just to show that we take it through across platforms, in the September edition of Vukuzenzele, we're also going to have a story. We're going to have the Twitter accounts there. We're going to distribute them to communities so that we can galvanize society and the community to be able to operate that. So the way we view our social media strategy, it cannot be linked to one account. And for you to achieve plurality, you will never be able to succeed with one account. So even the accounts of those that support the content themselves were able to answer them. The SMSs on the synopsis, it only to government communicators and government leaders. Because it's our target is to serve government when it comes to that particular part. I think I've answered most of the issues, unless if there's something that I've missed.
Okay, thanks. With regard to the fraud issues, the messages that we sent, this is our strategy to enlighten the internal staff in GCIS about fraud prevention. Now, the messages included what constitutes fraud, how to detect fraud, how to prevent fraud, and how to report fraud. We even popularized the corruption hotline of the OPSC in order to enlighten them to say if ever they detect any form of fraud, this is what they need to do. And I must say we've got a very, very powerful internal communication system in the department where we make use of various platforms. We've got what we call Hot News, which is our weekly, in fact, twice a week a newsletter that we send to people. We've got our monthly magazine where we feature all those things. But the unit itself that deals with fraud and risk management issues, they've got their own regular newsletter that comes on a quarterly basis, and they identify all the things that need to happen in terms of risk management as well as fraud prevention. But this is internally based to make sure that our employees in GCIS understand the process and know exactly what constitutes fraud in various forms. Thanks very much.
That's about it. The only last question that we missed was the list of the two song centers. The centers' lists are cut across. We only have an office which we pay for information center, but the whole Tucson Center is a collaboration with all the departments that are leasing in that complex, and we only pay for our own office in those centers. Thanks.
Just before ministers can intervene, just two questions on my side. Firstly, what's happening about your curriculum which you're developing for training government as qualifications for government communicators? And also, departments are required to have submitted to you their communication strategy. Have they done that? Do they submit that to you? And I'm sure the other question, which I'm sure the minister, maybe they might just reflect on them when they act, because I think it's more of a political nature, the Maracana question, which have been raised by Honorable Group on the event, around the event itself, whether, because I don't think that it can be a question to the official. It's supposed to be the government decision whether the event is made or put in the calendar of events of the country because of that importance. And so when you'll also. And then on the there was a question on how do you measure your I think it was from Honorable Group. How do you measure your interactive, how do you interact, and how do you measure that interaction with communities on your progress? Just those two questions.
Thank you very much for asking the curriculum, because I think it's one of our flagship program that we're quite excited to say that we didn't reflect on it here because it was not under the quarter, the period that we were discussing. But if I'm to share with the honorable members, it's a project that we started almost 2 years ago when we realized the gap that we have within the government communicators. A lot of our government communicators, in terms of academic qualification, they are qualified. They come with journalism qualification. What we have found over the years, they struggle in understanding communication from a government perspective. We then got a curriculum developers. We outsourced the service. We got outside professors to assist us in developing the curriculum. Today we have the curriculum, it's been developed, but unfortunately it doesn't reside with us, it resides with the National School of Government. They were involved in it, and what we are seeking to do, Chairperson, is that for the future, any government communicator that joins the public service needs to go through that training. In fact, we'll go as far as any of the politicians that are interested in going through that program, they will go through it. Once the National School of Government starts functioning, there is a curriculum that will tackle the issues of development communication, the issues of dealing with the media, the issues of how you package some of the most complex policies of government and make them tangible to a man in the street. I think those are some of the programs that will be going through that curriculum. But it is there, but I think once the national school, maybe the PSA can share light to how far we are. In terms of communication strategies, for the last period, Chairperson, that you're asking, most of the communications, they don't present their strategy annually. I think we've done away with developing a communication strategy on an annual basis because our strategy mirrors the program of government for 5 years. But what we do is that on an annual basis, they develop their communication plan. And I think they do it at the beginning of the year when the State of the Nation of the President last year, they were operating on their own communications plan. Currently, we've just resolved to put in a program for the next 5 years. They are also currently busy doing their own for the next 5 years, how they are going to be communicating. In essence, what the program of government says has committed to do in the next 5 years. We want communicators to deal with how do we make sure that South Africans are kept abreast with some of those commitments. So those ones have not yet been finalized, but yes, they will be having their own 5-year program, which they will revamp on an annual basis. Thanks.
I just want to add on the question of training. Whilst you are still waiting for the School of Governance to address this, even now, for instance, on Thursday, the 3rd and 4th, 4 and 5, next this Thursday and Friday, there is training and induction of communicators across all the new in Mpumalanga. We did some in Free State. Last week, Friday, we had an induction, a re-induction to all communicators at national government level. So we are waiting for that, but at the moment we are doing something and we are rolling it out across the provinces. We've got core of trainers at the GCI's head office working with our provincial counterparts, and then we are doing that even at municipality level. It's something that we are very passionate about, and it's something that we think is quite critical and important that we should do. And just to add on the communication strategies, remember the FNCO indicated that we have monthly cluster communications and that. One of the things that is also happening is we are much more focusing on the coordination, the work of coordination and development of cluster communication strategies, because we need to make sure that we mobilize resources in terms of our communications. And those cluster communication strategies are being developed, and they are not even necessarily presented to us, but they are presented to the cluster ministers and cluster DGs for implementation, and we assist in monitoring the implementation of those.
Honorable Mandisa, your question is
that? Yes, that is not clarified, I believe. Yeah, thanks, Chair. The quarterly overspending, that has not been clarified. If that could be, thanks.
Honorable Dole? Wait, you follow up. 2 minutes.
Okay.
We don't have time.
No problem.
We get into another one.
No problem. It's really quick. It's very, very quick. One is communications around people with disabilities. Can you give us some detail around that? Huh? Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah. I'm saying communication, because that thing of sign language raises questions around, for me, are you able to reach through your communicative technologies the people with disabilities? Can you take us through that? And I'm saying that the interactive communication mediums don't have to do with your community work only, like you going to listen to communities. But do people in all other mediums give you feedback? Are you building that type of... Yeah, so I think we're not hearing each other there. And then lastly, can you take us through, are you responsible for the president's speeches? And say, because it's tough then. If you are responsible for the president's speeches, can you just take us through how him as an effective communicator is handled? Is he workshopped? How is his speech written and all those things? Is it GCIS or is it in a different arm? And also his ability to deal with the media and all those things, to issues that the president say get workshopped. I mean, I just want to get a sense, because presidency is around the world. I'm sure you hear me, because I have a time limitation. How is the speech of the president handled? Is it workshopped and all those things? And his communication abilities. Thank you.
Honorable Davis. Thank you, Chair. Just to follow up on the sign language issue, I accept what you say about it being a sore point. I think we all agree that it was a sore point. But you say that GCIS is not responsible. But on the day after the memorial service, you issued a statement saying that there would be an inquiry. So I think if you announce the inquiry, surely you can inform the committee what is the status of that inquiry and what has happened. What has been the outcome of that inquiry? We'd really much, very much like to know. Thank you.
Honorable Sir.
Just two quick follow-ups on the issues raised earlier on. The issue of the AIDS in Jesus, I think earlier on when we raised this issue, it was out of the experience that we have, that we have been having a situation where politicians go to communities. There's this program that was dropped, that at least once a month you go to communities. But we have not been doing quite well in that respect. I think it's one issue that we might want to have to improve going forward this time around. But let me also commend the mayor of Tulamela. I was told last week in Limpopo. She convened a meeting of all the stakeholders in Tambo to say it's not an imbecile, but it's a feedback session of some sort. Saying to communities, we have been to your community last month, and these are the responses. This is how far we have gone in terms of the issues. And I'm sure mayors across the country will have to copy that kind of an interaction. And lastly, is with regard to, I know with the state of the national address, with the state of the province address, we organize big screens for communities to go and listen to what the president and premiers are saying in that respect. But public servants have not been taken on board in this respect. And to me, these are very critical components of government in terms of ensuring that what the president is saying, what premiers are saying, are taken forward in terms of implementing what government is saying around some of these things. And I'm saying, going forward, we might want a situation where there be a session of some sort for public servants in departments to say, last week there was the state of the province address, just one person to go and unpack the issues, and this is what is expected of divisions, various divisions in departments, in terms of taking forward the issues as raised. So one other issue that we might want to look at very, very critically, so as I've indicated, it will be wrong for me to say the state of the nation address is only for communicators. Public servants are also very critical components in that regard, because they are supposed to be driving the issues that the president is saying, this is what we expect for this particular year, this is what we expect for the next 5 years. and then last the issue of the president, I thought we are entering into another terrain which might not necessarily be relevant for this kind of a forum in terms of who develops the speech for the president. To me, this might not be the correct platform for this meeting to engage. I don't know if Minister Mutambi, your department develops speeches for the president. So to me, this might not be the correct platform to enter in that kind of an engagement. Thank you.
No, thank you. Is here in the department, they will answer for themselves. We might be wrong or we might be right, but they are here. They will clarify that.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good morning to everybody in this chamber today. Honorable Chair, I just want to respond to a few questions that have been raised, starting with the one that has been raised by Honorable Gagana with regards to our response in terms of what the President has made call on. He made mention of job creation. How are we responding to that as the Department? The fight against corruption and all that. Honorable members, if you have read all the statements, if you have listened on radio and everything, or all the platforms that we've engaged on as the department, you will notice that every day as the department we give messages. Every month has a theme and we distribute messages accordingly. But most importantly, we report on what action that has been taken by government. Not just actions, including intentions of how we plan to address the challenges that we are facing as government. That's the first thing. Whether it talks to job creation or whatever, but we are involved. That's why through the department, including the entities that are reporting to it, we're making the point that we all have a role to play in addressing the social challenges that we're facing. The other question that was raised, I think it was Honorable Van Dijk, who is our target market in this content that we are distributing? Our target market are all those that are in South Africa that seek to benefit, not just benefit and contribute positively or negatively towards the services that government renders to this country. Therefore, we have a response to reach out. That's why, even if we have printed the Vukuzenzele and other newspapers, we engage on community media platforms. We go to people everywhere where as long we can access people, be it social network media, you make it so that we also reach out to the young people of this country who are the future. We occupy all the platforms. Therefore, our responsibility is to make it a point that every citizen in this country understands what government wants to do and where government wants to go to. Because if they don't understand, it simply means they will not be able to enjoy the services and their rights thereof. And they won't be able to say to their official in the Department of Social Development that tells you that actually today the computers are not working, that I can't attend to you. They won't be able to say, you are here to render service to me, you're getting paid to do that. But if we take them through what is it that government is doing or intends to do, they will be able to say, no, this is what our government has said. The issue on Marikana, Honorable Ndlozi. Honorable members, it's important that we understand as we do oversight over this department, it's important that we understand the mandate of each and every department that we're involved with. The Department of Communications, now GCIS, as the presentation was made, does not have a mandate to declare any annual day to be commemorated. It is simple government communication. That's what it is about. Is the department involved in communicating whatever that happens in Marikana? The fact that we know about Marikana itself, because it did not only see it through TV, you've read it from the papers, including our own website. That's why we have seen lots of ministers, including our officials, going to Marikana to respond to some of the challenges that are faced there. But when it comes to, as we do to other events, can we then make it a point that you have annual messages or annual commemorations? Fortunately, we cannot.
do that as a department. We will follow all the process. Whoever thinks that there's a need for that can motivate, as we all know how we celebrate national or commemorate national days in the country. There's no difference between whatever has happened earlier and what happened yesterday. Again, Honorable Ndlozi, the President's speeches. Indeed, Honorable Members, again, it goes back to my last comment that it is important that we understand what is that we are monitoring. Because if we come here and we're not clear about the role and the mandate of the departments that you are monitoring, it has something. We will spend time on things that do not add value to our work. I take it that especially those that are communicators, because by the virtue of you serving in this committee, it tells that you're supposed to understand. The reason we decided as this department to say it is high time that we embark on radical communication revolution is simply because we have realized that we assume that people know. And that's the perception that we had. That's why we're making it our business to make it a point that we bring information to the tips, fingertips of everybody in this country, in all the platforms. If you go through the website that we have, the different departments, they will tell you who does what. Same applies to the development or the drafting of the speeches of the president. Like yourself, Honorable Ndlozi, you have your team that works on your speeches. The president has the same. There's nothing different. When it comes to the president being the effective communicator, he is. I want to confirm that. And that has been proven by the majority of this country. There is no way that everybody would want to listen to President Zuma when he is speaking if he's not an effective communicator. It simply tells that whatever message that he puts out there, it attracts attention because people want to listen because they can hear what he says. I don't know what it is that we'll be looking for if we were to ask if President Zuma is indeed an effective communicator. I don't know what's the definition of that, if that is not seen by the Honorable Member himself. When it comes to, again, it was Honorable Davis, I think, the question that he asked with regard to the inquiry that was made around the fake interpreter. The Honorable Member argues that if we made a statement that an inquiry is going to be conducted, we are supposed to know what is the status of the inquiry. Yes, Honorable Member, when we know the status of the inquiry, we will again issue another press statement. But when the process is being followed by those that are actually doing the inquiry, we cannot report on that. We communicate the actions, the intentions first, the decisions, and the outcomes. We don't communicate the process because the process belongs to those that are actively involved in driving what needs to be done. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe to start to head on the matter of Marikana. I think we're well aware that there is a work that's going on there. There's a commission of inquiry that's doing its work there. And then I think for us to interfere on the work of the commission would be unfair. And then I think one needs to emphasize that this is the matter that we take serious enough to allow the communication to do its work uninterrupted. And then I think we should allow the commission to do its work and stop these political gimmicks so that we are able to get closer on the matter. And then there was a question raised by Honorable Davis on the issue of the CEO. The position has been vacant for some time. I think this question is coming for the third time because when the PCC considered the AG, the meeting with the AG, it was raised. You'll recall, colleagues, that to say with this new administration, that was my response. There was a proclamation that was formally established based on the pronouncement of the new ministry on the 25th of May, wherein there was a proclamation that was published on the 7th of July, and then the proclamation indicated that the department will have director generals for communication and the director general for government communication and information systems. For me to report on the progress that we've made thus far, you will know that the department is working with a team led by the presidency to finalize the functions to be transferred to the new department. Once the transfer of the functions is completed, the department will, before the end of September, finalize the business plan that will be submitted to Treasury that will pave way for the allocation of financial resources to fund the various policy proposals of the department. Included is the organizational structure which the Department of Public Service and Administration is helping us in designing it. We anticipate that by the end of October, we will have the approved organizational structure of the department. This will pave our way for the appointment of the both accounting officers. And I want to indicate that GCIS is also responding to the question which Honorable Ndozi raised around GCIS. GCIS will continue to operate independent from the Department of the Communication, so that you remember its main work is just to support all the departmental departments across all departments, the 58 key departments. So I think up to that stage, this is the timeline that I can assure you that the vacancy will be filled within the stipulated timeline. I think the Deputy Minister has managed to cover this to save the time, and we want to request these GCIS officials, they've got an IMC meeting that they need to go and make a presentation so that they can be released, Chairperson.
Thank you, for your presentation, Honorable Davis. I'm rounding up. We have actually exceeded our time allocated for this presentation. I don't know whether you had something which is pending you want. And us. Honorable Matisha's question has not been answered. On that spending of 10 million.
So sorry.
Just quickly, Chief, on that.
No, and we apologize for that. You know, the 3 month expenditure is based on the monthly projections. On a monthly basis, we project that this month we are going to make use of, so we draw money from revenue that we're going to use. So at the end of 3 months, we give a report, and there might be an under expenditure or over expenditure based on some of the things that did not happen as we planned. But main one, like we're saying, will be the invoices that have not yet been paid, so it will go over that, then it will reside in under expenditure. Another one is in the personnel area, because you don't know when a person is going to resign or whatever. So you have drawn the money, you have budgeted that this month we are going to make use of so much for personnel. But at the beginning of the month, the person gives a resignation, and the next month the person goes. So that money will not be used whilst you are filling the post. So that is all those things, under expenditure and over expenditure. But the most important thing is that at the end of the financial year, we make sure that we have balanced our books and we make sure that we have used the money. And that is why the CEO was talking about unexpected activities like the ones he mentioned, that we took that money to make use of it so that we cover the over expenditure.
Honorable Davis.
Thank you. Thank you to the Deputy Minister for confirming that there is an inquiry underway into the fake interpreter. But I would just like to ask, if it's not the Department of Communications that is conducting the inquiry, which department is it? Because we'd very much like to follow up with that department. If this department might answer questions about it, we'd like to follow up with that department. So if you could just let us know which department is conducting the inquiry. Thank you.
Thank you, colleagues. I'm sure we can follow up that up with the ministry so that we get that information.
Sure. I think we have the ministry here, and I think they can answer the question here right now. Thank you.
president.